Welcome to episode 18 of Artists Mean Business. My name is Jess Kassweiner, and today I'm here with Stephanie Burke, artist and educator here in Chicago. Thank you so much for coming and taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me today.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you coming to talk with me.
Well, you know, I always like to start out the podcast by asking the same couple questions, and we'll see where this takes us. So, for starters, why don't you tell our audience sort of when was, if there was a moment for you, when you found yourself as an artist and you decided, yes, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been practicing photography since I was in high school. I actually got into photography in a kind of weird roundabout way as a competition with my roommate, and then ended up loving it and knew at that point in time not only that I love photography, but that I also love teaching. So those two things have always gone kind of hand in hand. And even when I was in undergrad and considering whether or not I wanted to continue on in photography or anthropology, I knew that I always wanted to be a practitioner in whatever field that I chose to really throw my life at, and an educator. So I always thought that those two things went together really importantly.
I guess one of the questions that kind of goes very much hand in hand with that is whether it was when you first started out or something that you've learned on your way, a tool that was in your toolbox that you had that helped you be successful in your current ventures.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the things that has absolutely shaped the way that I deal with artistic relationships and relationships with the community in Chicago are totally based in where I grew up and how I grew up. I grew up in a really, really small town in Northern California, and I grew up doing a lot of community theater. And at that point, basically you had to be invested in the community around you because you couldn't escape them. Everybody was looking at what everybody else was doing, so you just had to kind of learn how to work with people. And then being involved from a really early age in a creative community was something that was really interesting to me and was really enjoyable, because you could just kind of go out and be with this group of people doing this thing that wasn't really making anybody any sort of money. It was just going out and doing it for fun. Like, it was community theater. It was not commercially viable in any way. But we all just went and we put on these crazy shows, and I always enjoyed working backstage and just like getting stuff done. And you have crazy cast parties and you get to know this whole group of people in a really intimate way that you wouldn't otherwise. And that's something that I've brought to every community of people that I've continued to work with throughout my life. And it works, I guess, maps especially well onto the art world.
I guess this is just to throw a little curveball. What could Chicago's arts community learn from the community theater world?
What could it learn from the community theater world? I don't know what it could learn necessarily from specifically the community theater world. I think that it could just learn a lot more from small towns in that, I mean, this, I am kind of jumping ahead, but what you were talking about earlier with what would I advise someone to, what would I hope that someone had told me when I was starting out, which is something that I should have known anyways, and it's just continued to be kind of pounded in my head, that you need to be aware that everybody's around and everybody's listening. And you need to be willing to work with people and not just be a petty little shit. And I'm not saying that the Chicago art community is filled with petty little shit.
Can I write that down?
Yes.
Do not be petty shit.
Yeah, do not be a petty little shit. Be careful what you say and be careful who you say it to, because even if you're saying something off the cuff or jokingly, especially if it's about someone that you don't particularly know, that's going to come back to that person, and that's going to be hurtful. And it's one of those things that, like, you should fucking learn this in, like, high school, how to not be a drama queen. But it's something that continually surprises me that it goes on. So.
And this city is a lot smaller than you think.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who thinks that they can come to Chicago and get away with shit because it's a big city and a big art community is wrong. It's tiny. And not tiny in a bad way, but tiny in a way that everybody knows everybody else's business.
This is true. And, you know, I don't know if maybe I should sort of skip ahead this question. You know, I always ask what you wish someone would have said to you, and you sort of articulated that, and I'm happy for you to kind of go back to it. But I also think that you have a unique persona out there online and also in person. And I'm curious if you have advice to young folk on the come up about their persona, whether that's online or in person.
Don't get drunk too much. That's an important one. Don't be too fucking loud. And basically realize that you are building a legacy for yourself. So you want to put yourself out there as a person who is giving and wants to be involved and isn't just there to take. But you also want to make sure that you're clear. I mean, at least I wanted to make sure that it was clear that if I was giving and contributing, I expected that to be eventually reciprocated insofar as I expected to be part of an active group of people, not just being the one person that was doing shit all the time. And most of the time that hasn't been a problem. Like, that gets across and I end up working with other people who are really willing to work hard. So that's good. The internet is a place that is... It's a place that's problematic. It's a place that's problematic across generations, because I think that everyone still has kind of a hard time. That was grammatically incorrect, by the way. Everyone has a hard time figuring out that what you say and what you do on the internet is actually you, because I think that a lot of people still have this impression that they can have a fucking hissy fit and be totally, totally inappropriate and obnoxious and a fucking asshole on the internet, and then go about their day-to-day life and act like they didn't say that because they said it on Facebook. But the problem is that though, like, Facebook exists in the real world, the shit that you say there, the shit that you say on your blog, the shit that you say anywhere online, people read that and people take that back to the real world, and that colors the way that they interact with you. So if you're a prick online, people who read your stuff online are going to associate that prickiness with you as an individual, even if you're just saying, oh, no, I was just tweeting to be a dick. It's like, right. Well, you were actually a dick.
That's your persona now.
Yeah.
You have to own that.
Yeah, and then people don't want to own that, and they're like, oh, well, you're taking things too seriously. You're taking stuff that went on the internet seriously. It's like, well...
Well, who wrote it?
Yeah, well, who wrote it, or, like... If you said that to me standing next to me in an art opening, I would want to throw my beer in your face. But you think that's because you, like, typed it out in words that no one should care. So that's just be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what you're putting forth. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I assume all of us can think back to who we were in high school and would just go, oh, God. Or some things about that I really wish I hadn't done, hadn't been that person. Hopefully most of us have managed to escape away from the place we went to high school and don't have to live with that for the rest of our lives. But if you're operating in a community like this, and operating in a community like this, especially if you're a newcomer to it, people have long memories. They have long memories for the good things you do, which is fantastic, because the people around here are really, really, really thankful and giving back to those who contribute to the community. And they also have really long memories for the people who fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
So try not to fuck up.
Good advice. Try not to fuck up and don't say petty shit.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you said was funny. You said, you know, trying to do good things just for the sake of doing good things. It also reminds me of, like, the Hare Krishna model. It just, like, you give and then you don't want anything in return. But... down the line, they're going to remember that, and it's subconscious that they owe you one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of the karma of the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope, actually, maybe selfishly, maybe not, but that doing this podcast will, by me giving to the community, that somebody will say to me, yeah, I listened to that podcast, and I learned about a resource that I just didn't know was available, and thank you. And all I want in that instance is a thank you. And that for me makes it worthwhile. But, you know, I don't do this podcast because I need to. I do it because I feel like when I graduated from college and grad school, there was no one out there giving me advice and nobody would take the time to meet with me. But if I interviewed them and I made them feel special, then they would meet with me because they were important, and I was valuing that, mm-hmm. that ego inside of them. So it worked, and it kept working, and I got to make quality content, so it was a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wanted to also kind of follow up, not just thinking about what someone would have said to you and thinking about your past, but, you know, currently. You're a living, working artist and educator. There are plenty of people who are thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be teaching in higher education. I'm going to get a master's, and then I'm going to get a job teaching in a college or a university.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to have my arts practice. I'm going to have it all. So what do you have to say to that, Stephanie?
You can have it all, and it's going to be a total pain in the ass. But that's the way that it goes. I was hired full-time at Harold Washington College about a year and a half ago, and I am eternally thankful to have that position. And I have a wonderful time teaching there. I have the privilege of working with awesome students and working with a faculty and with a facility that allows really great things to happen. But at the same time, I have to be very, very careful about how I manage my time to make sure that I can continue to dedicate myself fully to teaching and my teaching responsibilities, dedicate myself to doing my blogging and writing responsibilities. I mean, I still do the gallery crawl every single week. I still do the top five every single week. Dedicate myself still to doing my own work, which the way that that ends up manifesting is that basically any time that I'm not teaching, I'm out of town working on my own work, and then processing and trying to get the work ready on the weekends alongside going out to look at artwork and just maintaining a part of like general community activities like stuff. I went to a brunch this afternoon with a group of artists just to have a time to sit down and chill the fuck out and just talk as a group of artists instead of having to have some sort of agenda. So it's just one of those things where it's incredibly challenging, it's incredibly rewarding, and it's a total pain in the butt. And unless you are really, really on top of time management and where you are committing yourself, it's really easy to have something fall off the radar. And that can be having your artwork fall off the radar, which is a problem in and of itself, because if you're an artist that's not making art, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you can end up in the opposite end of the boat where you're an educator that's more dedicated to art than educating, and then you become a terrible educator. And that goes for any area that you would like to totally throw yourself into. Like if you become a curator, you kind of have to make a decision like, how much do I want to put towards curating? How much do I want to put towards my own work? I have many friends who have gone from being artists to being curators and to being gallerists just because they decided that art wasn't going to be part of it anymore and that they had to fully dedicate themselves to curation. So you just kind of have to figure out where you want your effort to lie and then just juggle. And it's a juggling act that never, ever stops. Like the idea that someday you're going to get to this like beautiful moment where like, oh, I've got this awesome full-time teaching job at whatever, and then I've got all this studio time, and then I've got all that, like, you never have enough time for any of it.
So how do you, I guess, tell folks, maybe myself included, okay, I've got all these juggling balls, right? What would be something that someone who's frantic and anxious about it, maybe I'm talking about myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of things that I'm juggling. What would you tell me to maybe improve my disposition toward that situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, first thing I would say is make lists, because I love lists. The second thing that I would say is that you really need to reevaluate. Anyone needs to reevaluate how much they're doing, because this is one of the things that it's really easy to get involved in this city. If you put a little bit of effort out there, there's all sorts of opportunities. And at first, that's really, really great because you can just start doing so much stuff so quickly because everybody needs help. Everybody wants help. But at a certain point, you really have to start kind of thinking and paring away what's important. And that's where it becomes kind of hard, is trying to decide which one of these 10 different writing things do I do that's actually the one that's important? Which one of these 6 different kind of weird part-time jobs can I get rid of and try and make a little bit more time dedicated to one of those other jobs so I'm not totally scattered across all of these things? And then with your art practice, trying to say, okay, how do I keep this going in a direction? How do I figure out a way to make something sustainable? One of the ways that I did this was that, like I said, any time that I'm not teaching, I'm out of, like, leave town and go make work, because it was so hard for me to be able to make work in Chicago, because in Chicago there's so many other distractions, that I just basically decided, okay, my work gets made outside of the city. So every time I leave, I go and make work.
That's really interesting. You know, I was reflecting on what you were saying. You know, in addition to juggling and evaluating what you do or how many things that you get involved in, I think there's also a sort of respect to the projects that you take on, because if you take on a project and you are doing it, whether it's resume building or you're doing it because you want that connectivity to a certain institution, at the same time, it will reflect poorly on you if all of a sudden you just disappear, you know, and then they see you again a couple weeks down or a couple months down the line, say, oh, well, that person was a flake. So be careful what you do tie your name to, because it your reputation precedes you, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, and you also made a very good point right there, which is something, this is hard waters to tread or navigate or whatever, but the idea of what sort of projects do you associate yourself with, because you also do want to think about who you're working with and the nature of a project before you get associated with it, because even if you were the person working very hard on that one project that failed, its failure may outlive or outshine your dedication to it, and then you may become an associate of its failure. So be careful who you work with, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds really weird and catty, but
no, I don't think that's it's the same people in the business world would say, be careful who you do business with.
Mm-hmm.
And art is no different. It's just looked at as a frivolous, sometimes, hobby or part-time venture, but it's no different if it is your business,
mm-hmm.
if it is your profession. So, you know, you mentioned a few websites. What are the actual URLs that people can find you and your work at?
Well, my personal website is stephaniedawnburke.com. That's Dawn, D-A-W-N. I had to put the Dawn in there because my name is owned on the internet by a romance novelist. And then if you get the gallery crawl, which is the weekly listing of everything opening in the city, that's Art Talk Chicago. If you just Google Art Talk Chicago, it's one of the Chicago Now websites. And then I also do the top 5 for Baddest Sports every week.
Right. Well, I'm going to make sure that this gets posted, as always, in the show notes, which you can find if you just Google Kaz Weiner at Podomatic. But either you already are there because you're listening to the podcast, or you're finding us on iTunes. Either way, the link is up on the iTunes site as well. So, Stephanie, you know, I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm hoping that it will continue. But if there's any parting words or how people could get in touch with you should they have any questions?
You can email me through my website, or you can just email me at my Gmail account, which is stephanie.d.burke@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm going to put the links on there, so I hope that folks will check out your stuff. And definitely I would highly encourage folks to check out the gallery crawl, because it gives you an insight onto some lesser known shows that are out there in Chicago. And it's important to see things outside of the institutions, because that's part of the reasons why I live in Chicago, is because of this underground art scene.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
So with that, thanks for listening, Stephanie. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.